Blog Talk Radio. I listen to everything, and not just to the music itself, but to the hearts behind it. Welcome to Sunday Brunch, the first and last song on Creator's Parrot Channel here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Michelle Oliver, your host and the producer of Sunday Brunch. And actually, we have a guest co-host today, and I just wanted to let you know that it is Terry Scott, the Jazz Queen, and I will bring on Terry soon to introduce you to her and get this show started. Our show today features Philip Clark, Doye, and Rosalind. But first, at the beginning of every show, what we do is we play a dedication to Haiti, the people of Haiti, and to the island of Haiti for their and its healing. And also this time I want to add in Chile as well. And the song that I've chosen for you today for that dedication is Hard Time to Shine by Coco O'Connor. Coco was a guest on the show 2 weeks ago, our last guest, one of our last guests. And I'm going to go ahead, cue that up, and play the song for Haiti and Chile. Our hearts go out to you, and we're with you. Hi, this is Valerie Michelle Oliver again for Sunday Brunch, the first and the last song. And that was Hard Time to Shine by Coco O'Connor. Now, if you're interested in learning more about Coco, listening to more of her music, and finding out how to order or download Hard Time to Shine, you can get to her site by typing www. Actually, we don't even type www anymore. We just type, right? We type CocoO'Connor.com. I don't even type HTTP. So that is Coco, C-O-C-O, O'Connor, O-C-O-N-N-O-R.com. You can also get to Coco's website from the homepage for Creators Parrot here on Blog Talk Radio. There's a list of links. And actually, the links at the top of the list are always songs that I have played here on the show to dedicate to Haiti. And again, that song is Hard Time to Shine by Coco O'Connor. It's at the top of the links list. Now, if you'd like to make sure you can join us here for the show today, you can either go to blogtalkradio.com/creatorsparrot. To get to the page so that you can see the links and catch up on shows that are coming up. If you would like to dial into the show versus listen to the show from the homepage, the number to call is area code 347-202-0238. That's area code 347-202-0238. Also, if you are a Skype user, you can, from the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/creatorsparrot, you can click on a button that says Click to Talk. There probably is a Skype logo next to it. And if you click on that, you can also, you know, talk to us today. And let's see, I'd also like to welcome anyone that's listening to the show that's a Blog Talk Radio host. Friends that are coming over and listening from Blip FM, Facebook friends and Twitter followers, friends from IM Radio and Reverb Nation, friends from SOAC, and just generally family and friends. Just want to welcome everyone who may be listening. Yeah, welcome and thank you for being here. All right, now what I'd like to do is go ahead and introduce the guest co-host for today. And the guest co-host is just a lovely lady that I discovered through Blog Talk Radio. I was, I just searching, looking for music and looking for jazz music and came across Terry Scott, the jazz queen, and listened to her show. And I just found her so delightful and the show just so informative and so much fun that I decided to talk to Terry about a project that I'm working on and a song that I was actually I had published and was asking people to listen to help generate energy for answers and solutions to child abuse and neglect. And she so graciously offered to play the song in the air. So I'd like to introduce everyone to my guest co-host for today, Terry Scott. Hey, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Val. Thank you for inviting me on today. I am looking forward to co-hosting the show with you.
Well, Terry, you're quite welcome. And I need to say I'm very grateful that you're here because normally I know that you have a show that of your own that you normally do on Sundays. Why don't you tell us about that?
Talking Smooth Jazz, yes. It's a one-hour show of interviews with regional and national smooth jazz artists. We play music and we give out some news. We air every Saturday and Sunday from 1 p.m., from 1 to 2 Pacific time, 4 to 5 Eastern time. And my co-host, Mike Reynolds, and I, we come together every weekend and we interview some great artists, introduce the listeners to some music that they may never have heard of, artists they may not have heard of. and we have a great time.
Oh, wonderful. Now, who was the last guest that you had on? Because I'm sure you have a podcast available of that one right now, right? Do you remember?
Yes. Yesterday we interviewed saxophonist Tim Reeves. He is originally from Detroit, and we talked to him about his CD, Long Way Home. His current CD is called Long Way Home, and you can check him out on MySpace. He is on MySpace, and you can also see his profile on our TalkingSmoothJazz.com page. He is our featured artist for the month.
Okay, everybody, that is TalkingSmoothJazz.com. Terry, I know that you're in the chat room, and feel free to type, your website in there or any other websites that I may cite or people may cite that, people might want to take a look at. And again, I just want to let everyone know that all of the websites that we talk about on the show, you can go to the links page for Creative Parrot. You can go to the profile or the home page for Creative Parrot here on Blog Talk Radio and link to a website from there. Or you can also go to the blog for Creators Parrot, and that is creatorsparrot.blogspot.com. And again, that link is on the profile page. And I wanted to ask you, Terry, we were speaking a little bit earlier, and you told me that you could not remember the first song that you remember hearing as a child.
And I'm sure it was a lullaby, but I just honestly do not remember the very first song I heard. And so I'm going to have to go with maybe it was a child's game. Maybe it was that song, Ring Around the Rosies, A Pocket Full of Posies, Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Down.
Sure.
It might have been
that
one. Yeah. For some reason now that just comes to mind. So it may have been that one.
Ring Around a Rosie. I just find it fascinating, what are the first songs that we remember. And I just mentioned to you earlier that for those who haven't listened to previous shows, the first one that I remember, it's a lullaby, which is Hush Little Baby. Hush Little Baby, Don't Say a Word. Mama's Gonna Buy You a Mockingbird. So, which makes sense that lullabies might be the first song that we remember. And with that, I'm noticing the time, and I am the timekeeper for the show. So it's 3:17, and I want to try and stay on track if we can today, Terry, so that we have plenty of time to speak with our guest. And the first guest is a man who I discovered actually through another guest that I had on the show and I believe it was in January. I had Doug Ramsey on the show. Doug is also known as Mr. Fresh. And Doug has a website called vibesinscribes.com, and he covers jazz. And the way I discovered him was that he was a official blogger podcaster for the 52 Annual Academy Awards. And I was doing some research trying to find guests for a show that I was doing on awards, and came across Doug as the official blogger for the Academy Awards. That's tonight. That's right. For the Grammy Awards. So he was one of the official bloggers for the Grammy Awards in the category of jazz. And I went to his blog and was checking it out, and he was featuring Philip Clark in one of his entries on the blog, Terry. And I played the music, and the song I remember playing was Granted. And it was just such a cool finger pop and bop and move your body song that I just fell in love with Philip Clark. And so with that, I'd like to welcome and introduce Philip Clark. Hey, Phil, are you here?
Hey, ladies, how you doing?
Hi, Philip.
How's everything?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thank you guys so much for having me today.
You're welcome. Now, Philip and Terry, have you guys ever met before, or are you just, this is your first time meeting each other?
First time.
Yeah, this is my first time. It's actually really cool to hear about your program, Terry.
Thank you.
Okay, so Philip, I'm going to ask the first question, and then I'm going to turn it over to Terry so we can get going here. And the first question for you is, what is the first song you remember hearing? Now, I already know the answer to it, so I'm going to go ahead and let everyone else know the answer. And then you also sent me a clip of the song, so I'm going to play that after you sort of set this up for us. So what is the first song you remember hearing?
Well, obviously, with the exception of, like, the lullabies that you'd hear as a kid, the one that strikes me in my memory is Elvis Presley's Teddy Bear. I think my parents had like a 45 of it or something when I was a kid, back when we still used to listen to records. And I remember just playing this 45 over and over again. I don't know why on earth we had it, because I think the song came out in like 1955, 1956. And, at the time for me, it was early 70s. So, Lord knows why we had that record sitting around, but that was my first song I remember hearing.
And, rock and roll,
and,
baby.
Yeah.
And then,
Philip, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think subliminally, I think subliminally that might have something to do with, like, why I took to, what we call blue-eyed soul music, because I think Elvis was really the original blue-eyed soul guy.
Okay. And I was going to ask you also, what was the first song that inspired you to get into music?
Oh, boy. Man, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but I will give the caveat that, yes, it was the 70s, and so I think, in my childhood, I ended up listening to a lot of, the Partridge Family and the Osmonds and Sean Cassidy when I was really young. It's just so embarrassing. But I think hearing like that kind of stuff put this thing in my head of, oh, I want to be a recording artist. I want to get into music. And I had some music in my family too, so that probably had a lot to do with it as well.
Okay.
Okay, cool. All right, Terry, I'm just going to go ahead and play this clip of Teddy Bear.
All right.
Baby, let me be your little teddy bear. Pull a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be,
oh, let him be
your little teddy bear. I don't want to be a tiger, this tiger's way too rough. I don't want to be a lion, cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. But as a woman who be your teddy bear, put a chain around my neck and leave me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. Baby, let me be around you every night. Run your fingers through my hair and cuddle me real tight. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. I don't want to be a tiger, cause tigers play too rough. I don't want to be a lion, cause lions ain't the kind you love enough. Cause I wanna be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and leave me anywhere. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be your teddy bear.
I just wanna be.
Rock and roll.
All right. Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Well, and it's short and sweet, too, so that probably led me to play it over and over and over again.
Wow, that was nice. That was
That's great. Okay, Terry, do you want to go with the next question or shall I?
I will. I want to first mention that Philip was awarded Best International R&B Soul Male Artist by the Toronto Exclusive Awards in 2009. Now, the Toronto Exclusive Awards, tell us about that.
That was really sort of a surprise to me. I can't remember how I got in touch with them. I think I was there's a fellow artist of mine, Natalie Brown. She's a Canadian R&B kind of pop songstress, and I think I had been following the internet streams that she was getting and the radio stations that she was getting a lot of play from, and I think that's how I got in touch with the Toronto Exclusive. And they had sent me an email basically just reminding me that they were having this contest and that the entries were coming to a close. And so I just kind of threw myself in there at the last minute, and you know, it was a surprise to me that I was actually awarded these in these categories. It was a pleasant surprise for sure.
Mm. And he also received numerous outstanding reviews for his album, The State of Blue Eyed Soul, which is a combination of soul, R&B, jazz, and pop elements. So congratulations.
Thank you. Like I said, it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, and your music, I listened to some of your music, Big Blue Sky and Granted and Saturday Night. So really like your music. I like your style.
Thanks. No, that's Saturday Night. That's the Blue Nile track. That's my last song, but yeah, we've got some new stuff coming out. It's been a while since I've put out some new music. The State of Blue-Eyed Soul actually came out some time ago, and this year I just really committed myself to putting out some new material. So I decided I was going to do a new song a month, and I was just going to make it free for that month that it originally comes out, so I can sort of build my fan base and give back to the people that have been following me for a while.
And since you mentioned that, could you let the listeners know how they can get your new song free for the month?
Yeah, you can always go to philipclark.com, and it's probably the first thing posted in my news section. And I'm also hosting them at philipclark.bandcamp.com as well.
Okay.
I'm generally pretty easy to find. I usually make a big noise on the internet just so I can get people to listen to my stuff.
Okay. And so now every month you're offering a new song for free?
Yeah, every month. It started in it technically started in February, although the first song was posted at the end of January. But I did, as you mentioned, I did a remix with Mr. Fresh. He took Granted and did his own spin on it. So I guess that kind of qualifies as the unofficial first free demo of the month. But then I started doing the new songs, which started last month with Tootie Got Booty, and so now I'm doing them every month.
Okay.
Okay, great. Let me jump in here, if I may, Terry, and talk to Phil for a while. Phil, can you just give us an idea, just briefly, about how you got interested in your career in music? You grew up in Wyoming, I know. And can you tell us about how did you get from Wyoming to, did you go to New York, move to Queens? How did you get involved? Did your family know musicians? Give us a little bit of history there, if you will.
Let's see. Yeah, there was definitely music in my family. I was born and raised in Wyoming. Don't tell anyone. I actually did have a fantastic childhood, and it's something that I'm, thankful for having. My dad was a musician. He and my mom split up when I was pretty young, when I was 2 years old. But my mother's brother, my uncle, was also a musician. They had played together at some point probably before I was even born. But let's see. My uncle took me under his wing and mentored me about the time I was 14 or 15 years old, and I'd always had a passion for music. Like I said, I was inspired by the Osmonds early on. It's embarrassing to say, but Donny Osmond like got me singing when I was a kid. My music teachers kind of noticed that I had this passion for singing, and it just kind of grew from there. I learned how to play saxophone in grade school, and I sort of taught myself piano and started playing to the radio and just learning how to write songs. I think I wrote my first song when I was 14. But my uncle took me and hired me in his band when I was 15. I just started playing clubs and private parties and stuff. And he had an oldies band, and so I cut my teeth on oldies and country. And put my own band together when I was a teenager. You know, started writing my own music. Went to college in Casper and put my own bands together there. Got my education in music education. A few years later, I moved to Denver. I got in a job at a music store. And that's when I really kind of got into blues and soul music. The acid jazz thing was really kind of taken off at the time, and I discovered the Young Disciples and Brand New Heavies, and I was like, oh, this is my stuff. Like, that's the kind of music I just really loved. And I was playing a lot of blues bars, a lot of different types of bands. I eventually left Denver. I did a brief year in San Luis Obispo, California, and I joined a reggae band. And that pretty much cured my white boy syndrome, because everything in reggae is off the beat. You know, you're used to playing like on the beat when you're in rock music and sort of the more classically influenced music, but in reggae, especially as a keyboard player, you're off the beat everywhere. You're playing off the 16th, off the 8th note. So I did the reggae thing for about a year. California didn't work out. I moved back to Denver, and a friend of mine that I'd met working in the music store wanted me to consult him to put a recording studio together in New York. And I was like, oh, New York's not even on my radar. I couldn't even imagine living in New York. But he talked me into it, and I told him, I'll be in New York, I'll come out, I'll help you build the studio, I'm going to do it for 3 months, and then I'm going back to Denver. And I got to New York City, and 3 months later, I was like, I'm not going back to Denver, because it was just, I was hooked the moment I landed in New York. And I ended up, becoming friends and colleagues with people that I admired in the industry and in the scene, some R&B guys, people that were doing the acid jazz that I really enjoyed in the early 90s. I met Lottie Cronin from Brooklyn Funk Essentials, Danny Wyatt, who had the band Repercussions, and he knew the Groove Collective guys, so I got to know some of the Groove Collective people. And that's where I really got to start what would then become the State of Blue-Eyed Soul. And I was in New York for 11 years before I ended up moving to L.A. Very recently. I've been in L.A. for about 3 or 4 years now, so that's sort of my journey.
Okay, well, thank you for catching us up a bit on your history as a music artist, how you got from point A to where you are today. And it's not surprising that you have quite an eclectic assortment of different music genre from which to choose as a music artist, and certainly, there's different elements that are heard throughout your songs, different songs that you play, and so anyone who listens to your music, who goes to your website and downloads some of those songs, plays them, we'll get a feeling for some of the genre that you're talking about, from the acid jazz to the pop to the blues to the R&B to the soul. You're one of those artists who seems to be able to integrate all of those different aspects and flavors into your music. And one of the things that I love to look at, not just the sound of the music, which the sound of the music, of course, is very, very important because music is a universal language, and it helps to connect us no matter, where we are, no matter what the color of our skin or gender or sexual orientation or any of those things. And this show, a part of what the show is about is to talk about or to integrate, music and humanity and spirituality. And I was listening to and writing down some of the lyrics from your song, Big Blue Sky. And I just wanted to share with you what popped out at me from the lyrics. One of the lyrics talks about the pain. This is from Big Blue Sky. The pain, grief, and the rage, and the rage that pulled me under. And then there's something that says, let there be no limitation upon the boys and girls. And then also there's another line that says, drink out of the golden cup. Under the big blue sky, the hands of time take my breath away. And I want to go back to a moment to the pain, the grief, and the rage and all of that that pulls you under, and how does one set – there's something about setting demons free and so forth. So my question is, you know, where do these lyrics come from? Do they come from personal experiences in your life? Do they come from experiences from other people? I know that, you know, you mentioned you're a child of divorce, and it's funny how many people that I speak to, and even guests that I have spoken to so far on this show, come from divorce. So I was just wondering, where do you get the lyrics for a song like Big Blue Sky from? Where do they come from?
Yeah, I think that really does affect me. I'm very much a hard on my sleeve kind of writer. You know, some things when I write, I try to veil in experience, whether it's mine or somebody else's. But Big Blue Sky in particular was one of those songs that it was almost therapeutic for me, because yes, there are things in my past with being a child of divorce, and not only that, but when I was in my late adolescence, I dealt with clinical depression, and I think in your early 20s, you spend a lot of your time very much kind of fighting yourself and second-guessing yourself, and so I had a lot of confidence issues that I had to deal with, particularly in my early 20s, and coming from someplace from like Wyoming, where I didn't really feel I was exposed to the world and exposed to different cultures and things like that. And I'd always had this ambition to reach out and kind of improve my programming and better myself and seek out other things. And so I think that's very much the root of the repressed things that I was dealing with when I wrote Big Blue Sky. And remember when I first started writing the lyrics, it was probably on my road trip from Denver to California, and I probably for the first time, I decided that I wasn't going to play this system of grow up, go to school, get a day job, get married, have kids, you know, this sort of system that you're, you know, programmed to do when you become an individual. And I struck out on my own. I was on a whim. I just moved out to California, and this is where I felt like I'm no longer a creature of limitations. I'm branching out, and I think that was the inspiration for Big Blue Sky, and it's definitely a mantra to myself whenever I deal with things where I don't feel as confident, or I'm sort of kicking myself and saying, you know, you can't have this or you can't do this, to just remind myself that the world really is your oyster, and to drink out of the golden cup of life, I guess, is where that comes from.
You know, I thank you, Philip. I always like to remind myself that, you know, even through my interactions with people that I come across on a daily basis, and even through the show, that I never know who might be listening, who might need to hear, you know, something that I'm saying that might inspire or help them. There are so many people that I run into, or that I know through my own family or through acquaintances even, that I meet people who suffer from depression, people who are manic depressive, people who are children of divorce, people who have been abused or neglected. And, you know, you just never know what a person has been through in life. And so when I listen to the lyrics of some of your songs, that's why I asked this question. I definitely got the intuitive feeling that this is someone who knows what they're talking about. And these lyrics, you know, may be a way for you to express yourself, but also a way for you to somehow reach another person who might hear them. Is that correct?
That's, you know, ultimately it's my only hope. I mean, I guess It's funny. My dad, when I asked him, why did you become a musician, he immediately was like, well, I did it to meet chicks. And for me, it was all about, oh, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to affect my universe with my music. And it was a lot more altruistic than that. So, but yeah, I really, you know, hope, that's my only hope, is that maybe somebody will listen to my music and it will make them feel better or change them, or make them think differently in some respect. I mean, that's all I can really hope for.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play, because I have it queued up, Big Blue Sky, and then after that, Terry, I'm going to turn him over to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Big Blue Sky.
Life to be, so I say.
That was The Big Blue Sky by Philip Clark. Again, you can check out his music on his website, philipclark.com. So, Philip, I noticed on your website you have a couple of contests going on. Tootie Got Booty, and then there's a remix contest. Tell us about those.
I'm trying to make this whole process of music creation a little more interactive. And so, just as trying to get, in touch with my fan base and make them a part of the experience, I've made basically sort of a fan video contest for Tootie Got Booty, where people can upload their videos. Like they take the song and do whatever to it. If they want to goof around, if they want to, really I'm open to any ideas. And they would upload their videos to my site, and then in a couple months, I'll put together a fan video with like the best clips of the people that have made their submissions and post it online, so they can be a part of the whole kind of music creation process. And then the remix contest is really, again, the same kind of things. The internet's played such a big part in me getting my music out to people. I thought a great way of kind of giving back would be to make stems of my songs available to remixers so that they can make their own remixes and post them to my site, or just kind of use them as they see fit. I'm not one of these guys that is, it's like, oh, you can't use my music, I don't want you stealing my stuff. Like, I don't really fear internet piracy. I have the attitude that, back when we were kids, when we'd listen to the radio and we'd have our cassette player and we'd, take the songs that we like and we make our own mixtapes and play them for other people, like, this is the kind of music I like. I think that's what's going on with, file sharing or what have you when people are downloading your songs. So my message always to podcasters and remixers is, hey, get in touch with me. If you want to do a remix of my stuff, I'm down. So, but those are two things that are going on with my stuff right now. So,
okay, and you're also a publisher of a comic book called Quantum Rock of Ages.
Yeah, I've always had two passions. I've had music and I've had comics. And one of the things I told myself when I was younger is, if the music thing never worked out, then I'll write comics for a living. Well, there was a point in time when, my enthusiasm for music sort of waned, and all of a sudden it was like, well, I better learn how to write, because I always said I would do this comic book thing. So, there was a point in time when I really just dove into learning how to write creatively and the aspects of publishing my own comic, and I've done that for a number of years now. So I sort of have two floundering careers with the music and the comics, in addition to my day job, just to sort of make ends meet.
Okay, and you're in the chat room, so if you would put in the information, is there a website for the comic book?
Yeah, there is. I'll post it up. Yeah, I finally got in the chat room. I've been trying for the past few minutes trying to get it happening, but the link is quantumcomic.net, I'll post that up as well.
Cool, okay. quantumcomic.net. I was just wondering, Terry, can I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
Okay, great. Philip, I was wondering, earlier we were talking about some of the experiences that you've had as a young man and, using your music as a way to express and get some of those things out to help yourself and to help other people. Now, I actually read the first issue of the comic because awesome, because I was an X-Men fan with the comics growing up and collected them.
Yeah, Quantum is very influenced by the X-Men and I hope that first issue read okay for you. Like, that was my first issue I'd ever written, so it's a little rocky in spots. And it's definitely adult content. It's not your typical, teenage comic book. It does deal with some adult themes. I always tell people it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, and time travel.
Yes, I definitely caught up, you know, was caught up in some of the themes that were going on. And I was just wondered, is the comic book just another way for you to express yourself in a way that, I don't know if I should use the word, that's raunchier or more dark than you can in music? Is that one of the motivations behind the comic, behind having a comic book series?
I think so. I mean, my music in general tends to be very optimistic, very clean. I want it to be accessible. Quantum was my opportunity to really kind of go a little darker and deal with the demons that kind of plague my head. I mean, ultimately, Quantum is a reality theme, or not, sorry, not reality. It's a morality story. I mean, the theme of Quantum at the very end of it is the grass is never greener on the other side. And the characters in Quantum are actually aspects of my own personality. Not to give away too much, but there are seven main characters in Quantum Rock of Ages. And they all meet each other through alternate timelines. So just the Quantum itself is a mystical, you know, device to basically let people travel sideways in time, and the main character gets to see all these different types of realities that could have happened. You know, the world in a post-apocalyptic age, the world in a utopian age where technology is really advanced, the world in a, you know, in an age where maybe the racial dynamics are flipped, and so Quantum was really my opportunity to kind of maybe get a little darker, maybe come from a little, you know, more adult, edgier point of view and kind of tell that story. So, yeah, it definitely served a different purpose than what my music does, I think.
Okay, cool. And the other thing that I wanted to pick up on, or that I picked up on, was Terry, you're talking with Philip about the remixing contest. And I had hoped that Mr. Fresh would be able to call in. I think that might be my fault, because I think he said he wanted me to get back to him to give him more information. But Mr. Fresh, again, Doug Ramsey did a mix of your Granted song, and I actually love both versions of the song, although I was telling Terry, a little bit partial to the original one. But the one that I have queued up to play right now is the mixed version by Doug Ramsey, called Eternal Mix. And I was wondering if you could just set this up for us, a little bit about your collaboration on this song with Doug Ramsey, and then I'll play the clip, and then Terry will come back, and if you have any more questions, you can certainly, or any comments, you can talk to Philip after that.
Okay.
Yeah, this
so,
is...
Philip,
go ahead.
No, I'm just... then go ahead and talk about it.
So, yeah, this was one of my, fortunate experiences with Twitter. Let me back up. I'd become a big fan of music podcasts recently. And so I've kind of gone out to look for every kind of soulful music podcast I can find. And through that, discovered the Sunday soundtrack that Doug does. And I got a hold of Doug through Twitter, and we had a couple just, you know, chat conversations online. And I'd mentioned the fact that I was looking for remixers for my stuff. And Doug was one of the first guys to basically step up and say, hey, I'd love to do a remix of Granted. Why don't you send me the stems and I'll get on it? And, a couple months later, he had turned around this fantastic remix for me. And it's so refreshing to have somebody else do a new spin on something that you've been listening to for a number of years. So that's sort of how that turned out. I was really happy with the results. And, you know, I hope more people want to do remixes of my stuff, because I love getting new versions of my own songs that I could never imagine ever, you know, hearing.
All righty then. Let's go ahead and play Granted, the Eternal Mix of your song, mixed by Doug Ramsey.
You
took a good thing away, and now it's gone, now it's gone. You took a good thing away, and now it's gone, now it's gone.
We need to talk.
I love the guitar at the end of that.
I wanted to ask you about your current project.
The Dreamchild Suites. This is music that I've kind of backlogged for a while. I wanted to release for some time. And I've been fighting myself, well, do I want to make it a whole record? How am I going to do this? I want it to sound more live because I've got the band now. And I kind of went back and forth in terms of figuring out what format I was even going to do it in. And suddenly the demo a month idea popped into my head, and I was like, this is great. I can commit myself to a timeline to release new music. Mm-hmm. I can generate traffic to my website by making this free promotion every month where people can come back to my website and get a new song. And then, you know, I can release it digitally. And, you know, maybe after four or five songs are done and complete, how about I just do an EP as opposed to a full-blown, you know, 12 or 15-song CD, make it more affordable for people to, you know, to purchase. If I'm doing like a 5-song EP for $5, that's a heck of a lot more manageable than, you know, selling a 16-song CD for, you know, $12 or $15, what have you. So That's sort of the root of the Dream Child suite. There was going to be one record. It was going to be called Dream Child. And then just with the way I've been thinking about how music is marketed and sold and promoted nowadays, and especially with the independent mindset that I've gotten, I just sort of got out of that record mentality. I mean, you know, at the end of it all, when this is all done and I've done the three EPs, I may do a deluxe, you know, 15-song or what have you version of the Dream Child Suite, and you can buy that for, you know, $15, $16. But early on, it's going to be free downloads every month. If you miss a download, it will still be available at the online store for $1. Once 5 songs are done, you can buy the EP. You can have a physical CD for $5. And then there'll be basically 3 of those. And that's the Dream Child Suite. I'm sort of thinking of it in an act. So the first 5 songs are sort of act 1. The next 5 songs are act 2. And the next 5 songs are act 3. I mean, that's kind of what it's looking like right now in my head. And as this whole thing goes along, I also want to get the interactive material. I want to get fan videos. I want to get remixes. I want to get phone calls. I have a listener line that people can call, and if they just want to leave me a message talking about anything, if they want to just compliment me on music or tell me how my music has affected them. And maybe I'll use that stuff in the album. I'm not sure yet. I'm really kind of flying by the seat of my pants here.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a cool idea, though. I like that concept. That's really cool, yeah.
I've gotten a lot of great ideas from CD Baby. I'm listening to their DIY music podcast, and they have such great conversations about how independent musicians can promote their material and how we don't have to rely on this old music industry mechanism of record labels and, you know, people controlling your destiny. I really feel the independent artists control their own destiny, and man, CD Baby's done a great job of that. And even Reverb Nation, I mean, Valerie, that's how I met you. They're doing some great things for independent artists.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it's come to the point where we're going to have to say goodbye to you, Philip. This has been, you know, so exciting and great actually talking with you. It sure does. Even on a 2-hour show, it flies so quickly. Mm-hmm. So I want to just ask you what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth? That's always the last song we ask a guest. So what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. This was a tough call. This is a really tough call. I have to say probably some of the most beautiful music in my mind is from the Blue Nile. And I would probably say any Blue Nile track I would be comfortable with being the last song I ever heard. But their album Hats in particular is such a fantastic work. And at the very end of it, there's this track called Saturday Night. And it's so serene and ethereal, and Just beautiful. And I think if I had to, you know, when I do have to go, and I'm not going to be happy about it, if this is the song that I got to hear in my final moments, I think that would be a pretty decent cap to what's been a pretty full life.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you, Philip. Nice meeting you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much. And what we're actually going to do is I'm going to play just a little bit of Saturday Night because we do have our next guest. I like to call her Lady Doye because to me she's a lady you've never met, and I know that she's waiting for us to interview her. So I'm going to play a clip, a little bit of Saturday Night because it's a very long song, and then I'm going to bring it down. And then we're going to go into speaking with Doye. And one more thing, if you want to call in, the number is 347-202-0238. And the website address for this show is creatorsparrot. I'm getting a little confused between my blog and the show. It is blogtalkradio.com/creatorsparrot. Okay, and now Saturday Night, Phil Clark's the last song he wants to hear before his life ends here on Earth. All right, that was Saturday Night, and this is Sunday Brunch, the first and last song on Creator's Parrot Channel here on Blog Talk Radio, and I am Valerie Michelle Oliver, the producer and host, and I am joined by special guest co-host Terry Scott. Terry, are you still here?
Hey, I'm still here.
Okay, yes. All right, well, let's move along. I want to bring on our second guest, a very special guest for today, and her name is Doye. She's a music artist, and actually, Terry, you're a little bit more familiar with Doye than I am, since I believe you've interviewed her before. So
yes.
I'm going to let you do the welcomes and ask the first question, and then I'll just follow after you.
I love your Val. I love your information here on her that you sent me, and I just want to read this because I like the way you put this. Some women are to the manner born as diva royalty, and Nigerian-born smooth jazz R&B international singer-songwriter Doye fits solidly into this class. Doye's first release, Journey, is a songwriting roadmap that documents her musical and life experiences. It's as if she is going through a powerful transformation through her music, one listeners can witness or even to which we can surrender and personally benefit. Please welcome, I can call her my friend, Doye. Welcome, Doye.
Oh, thank you.
How are you?
That's a nice introduction. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you. It's very nice, you know, to be on this show. I've been looking forward to it. So thank you so much. I'm quite pleased to be here with you guys today.
You are so welcome. I'm glad that you were able to join us. I referred you to Val when she was looking for guests for a show, and I said, well, you know, you came to mind first for me, and I'm glad that she was able and that you were able to come on. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, you too.
Now, the name of Val's show is Sunday Brunch, What is the First and Last Song? So my first question to you is, what is the first song you remember hearing?
Wow. Well, I would say God Bless the Child by Billy Holiday.
Mm.
That was a song that, you know, struck me right from the first time I heard it. It's like, wow. This is powerful, and, you know, I've always loved it, and I'm still loving it. So that's the song, I would say.
All right. That's a nice one, too. All right. So it's been a while since I talked to you, although I did talk to you, you know, just briefly. But in terms of what's happening in your career, are you working on any new music?
Well, yes. I am working on my next project, although I'm still promoting Journey,
okay.
My debut album. But I'm back in the studio, and I'm working on my next project. And it's exciting, you know, you want to try harder, you know, compared to what you had done the last one. So I'm looking forward to how this turns out.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm trying to work very hard, you know, just to make sure that, you know, I do better, because it's part of the journey. You see, you want to grow, and so I'm trying to, you know, implement all of that in my next project. You know, just to see that I've grown compared to what I did the last album. You know, so my fans and the people out there can see, wow, this is coming along very well. So I'm looking forward to it.
And I just have to say that her debut CD, Journey, is so good. It is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And you can check out her music on her website, Doye. That's D as in David, O-U-Y-E, theartist.com.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm itching to jump in here.
Go right ahead.
I'm holding myself back, Terry.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's quite all right. That's what happens when you have two hosts, and that's fine. When you watch a show, do you ever watch the View on television, and you have four or five women, and they're always talking over each other, you know? So this is nothing compared to that. But Doye, I just wanted to thank you again for being on the show, and I wanted you to give us, just if you could, very briefly, a bit about how you got from Nigeria, your homeland, to, is it Los Angeles that you're living at now? Tell us briefly how this occurred.
Well, you know, I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm from Nigeria. And I started singing from a very early age, you know, just humming at home whenever I hear music at home, maybe five, you know, four, five, six. But I then joined the church choir at the age of seven, and the musical director called me out and said, you know, you have a special voice, and you know, I urge you to hone it. And then I didn't really put too much thought to it because I thought, oh, well, it's just a thought. But then, you know, as I went along, I started to realize maybe there is something in there. And I talked to my parents about it, and it was a good thing that they were so welcoming to my ideas and my dream, you know, to want to become a songstress. Because that's not so familiar, you know, coming from the world that I came from, which is Nigeria. I mean, women, they're not necessarily entertainers there. They may be school teachers, you know, just get a first degree and be a decent wife, you know, something like that. And so when I told them that I wanted to, you know, pursue singing, you know, they didn't hold me back. I thought that was really a blessing. That's all the blessing I needed, you know, mm-hmm. to move on forward. And so then we used to always go to England for summer holidays, and I'll go there, and whenever we get there, I always tell my dad to get all the, you know, the latest jazz albums and all that, and I'll listen to them. And I think when I was about 10, I told him, I really want to pursue this. So I'll go to England and stay there for some time with my, you know, extended relatives, and I'll come back to Nigeria. But, you know, at the age of 14, 15, I truly, it's like I'm ready. I want to go for it all the way. And, you know, I traveled off Europe, and finally I decided to come out to United States. And stay here because the big names are all here. Even the ones in England, they always want to come out here, you know. Okay. So I decided to come out here, you know, and stay. And I went to a school out here up in Hollywood called a Musician Institute. And I did study vocal training there. And that's how I started, you know. When I was there, I happened to... I've met some great teachers, and one of my teacher, she teaches songwriting, and she had called me out and said, you know, you really got something special, and I want to introduce you to someone, a dear friend of mine, and she then introduced me to Terry Shattuck, and the rest is history. You know, it's not that I met Terry, I mean, we just clicked. It was great. It's been great, and it will continue to be great. And, you know, we just started working together, you know, up until now.
Well, thank you so much for giving us, you know, that brief, and I did ask for brief, and you kept it brief. I appreciate it. Rendition of your personal history from Africa here to the United States. And Terry, you mentioned the album Journey and how much you enjoy it and love it. And again, from my perspective, I'm always interested in the heart behind the artist in their humanity and spirituality. And so I just wanted to recite some of the lyric that touched my heart from the song Journey.
Okay.
Quote, if you... Yes, quote, if you don't follow your dreams, if you don't follow your dreams, well, you know what that means. If you don't follow your dreams, well, you know what that means. This is my story. Now, there are people who seem to be stuck, Doye, that they seem to have trouble following their dreams. Now, do these lyrics come from, it doesn't sound as if it does, because you said you have parents who supported you. So my question was, do these lyrics come from your experience with being stuck or viewing other people who you love or who you know being stuck? And how did you move beyond being stuck if it was you? And if not, what words of wisdom do you have for people who are stuck and who want to get unstuck? And then I'm going to play the song.
Okay. Well, I must say, I was very, very, very lucky. I still feel lucky to have had, great family, that really supported me in my course in becoming a songstress. A lot of people in this business, as a whole in general, doesn't necessarily have to be in the music, but everyone, I would think, have dreams. But as you said, a lot of people tend to take the wrong turn in life or fall apart somewhere. And so it's always best to have people around you that encourages you to pursue your dream. And sometimes, having a dream is the first step, but then you also have to be realistic. You have to realize that there's hard work, there's determination, that's all these other elements that makes that dream come true. You just don't say, oh, I have a dream, and then heaven falls from heaven. manas fall from heaven. No.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to, having a dream is the beginning of the whole of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then, pursuing that dream, there will be obstacles. There will be letdowns. There will be some sense of negativity, that may set you back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you truly believe in that dream, then you have to pursue it all the way. I've seen people that are doing things they necessarily don't enjoy doing, and it's because somewhere in their journey, they fell short. They underestimated themselves, or they just felt, well, maybe I'm most comfortable doing this. But then, as years go by, you tend to realize, oh my gosh, I made a mistake. I should have gone with my true dream. So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is, it's if you believe in yourself and you work hard towards that dream of yours, and you're determined, you will get there. As long as you don't stop, just keep going. You will get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to play the song Journey. And then, Terry, when we come back after the song, you have her next.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Thank you.
taken away, I will celebrate my destiny.
Journey by Doye from her Journey CD. Very nice. Now, continuing on this question of the journey, on your continuing journey, Doye, has there ever been a time where you said to yourself you could not stay in the music business, you didn't want to do it anymore?
Never. Never. There have been times where I was kind of a live down, but I've never underestimated my dream.
Okay.
I've never underestimated, you know, what I can do with my music. And so that is my zeal. That is my strength. And I just kept going on.
And what, had you not gone into music, what would you be doing?
Maybe working with children, because I do, I do like that. And I still, you know, I do that every now and then. I do volunteer in, you know, different hospitals and foster homes, group homes, you know, underprivileged children, I meant, orphans and all that. I'm drawn
okay.
by that.
Okay. When was the last time you were home?
2 years ago, but I intend to, I'm thinking of going possibly this year. Well, next year, let's see how much time I have, you know, working on this project of mine.
It takes time,
know,
yes.
I'll have my family may possibly come visit.
Oh, good. Okay. All right, so Ms. Bell, back to you.
Well, thank you. Okay, Lady Doye, I was also taking a close look at and listening to your song, Wicked World. And there were a couple of lyrics that jumped out at me. Quote, they say, Mama is an addict. My soul has already been sold. Where are you, Mama? Where are you, Papa? And I was thinking that, you know, addiction robs us of our self-esteem, of our dreams, you know, of things that we want to accomplish in life. And not just addiction, but it also took me back to a job that I had back in the 1980s. I was working for an organization in New York City called Gay Men's Health Crisis as their assistant art director. And at that time, and during the time that I was working there, there was a very huge rise in HIV and AIDS infections that was beginning to lessen among gay men, and it was increasing among women and people of color. And at the same time, there was also a very huge impact on Africa and on Africa's people and women and children included. You mentioned children. And it seems like things are so quiet in the media now about HIV and AIDS in our country and also in Africa. Is there anything that you can tell us about anything you might know personally that is going on in terms of, I mean, of course, AIDS is still a problem, but there's all this silence. Is there anything that you can tell us about the state of affairs in Nigeria there, or any personal involvement you may have had with it?
In terms of HIV and AIDS?
Yes. Is there, I just haven't kept on top of it. It's still a major issue, is it not?
I think so, but it's not as prevalent in Nigeria, to my understanding, based on the statistics.
That's good.
I understand it's a lot more prevalent in South Africa, but it's an issue that is it's ongoing, as we all know. I mean, it is something that will always seek our attention as people. And you know, I hope that everyone out there, you know, somehow, somewhere, give back, find a way to help people of that, you know, of such to, you know, support them and aid them in one way or the other, because it is not just their problem. You see, every social problem, to me, the way I look at it, is everyone's problem. It's just like child abuse. It's everybody's problem. It's not just the people that have been affected by it directly, if you know what I mean. And so, you know, it's always best for, you know, the world as a whole to be aware of such problems and to find a way to support. Because those are problems that will be ongoing. It's never going to die away. I mean, it may be reduced. The impact may be reduced. But it's always going to be there. So that's the way, you know, that's the way I look at it. You know, for us to all go out there and show support and not point fingers. And not blame anyone, because that could be anybody. And you know, just show some sense of support, you know, and you know, to people that have been impacted by these things.
Right, right. You know, there is a thank you for that. There's a book called Music and Sound in the Healing Arts, and there's a quote that I picked out from that book, and I want to read it to you. It says, "I noticed that the same piece of music played in different ways would bring a different response from audiences. We would play music to make people drink, fight, want sex, have visions, become sad, happy, inspired, spend money, and gain confidence." What is it that you want to happen? People to get through your music, to drink, to fight, to have sex, to have fun. What would you
to
be inspired?
I think, you know, for Doye, my message is to inspire. My message is to have people gain confidence. It's just like the song titled Journey. You know, I'm trying to make people see that this is a journey that we're all going through in life. It is a journey, you know, that begins and has an end to it. And so make the best of it. Yes, there will be regrets, and yes, there will be sunny days, but it's what you make out of it that matters. And so same thing as the song, It's a Wicked World. It is a wicked world. It is really a wicked world. I mean, that song was inspired by a child that I volunteered in the place. You know, he was an abused child. His mother was a drug addict. And for sure he didn't know his father. And, you know, that child was literally broken down. And I happened to have walked with him, and he got inspired by that. know. just talking to him, you know. But he helped me to write the song because, you know, just working with him gave me the insight to, you know, look at life from that perspective and write that song. And so, you know, for Doye, you know, my thing to my fans and to listeners is to be able to have them listen to my songs and be inspired by it. I am truly be inspired by life. I mean, life is the biggest teacher, and I'm a student of wisdom. I like to learn. And so I try to tap into, you know, situations that concerns life as a whole. It's not just all about I love you and the sex and and all that. I do have some sensual songs, but, you know, for the most part, I'm being driven by social issues. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I like to inspire people, including myself.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we are coming to the end of our interview with you. And a wonderful one it has been, and I wish it could just go on and on and on. And actually, the next guest has not called in yet, so I am actually going to ask you what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth, and then I'm going to play your song, Wicked World. And when we come back, we will either be saying goodbye or we will have and have the next guest on, or we may have time to continue with you. We'll see what happens. Okay, so what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth?
Journey.
Mm.
You know, it just sums up what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
We are on a journey, and we have to be aware of that. No one stays forever. Well, except in someone's mind, but, you know, physically, no one stays forever. We're born at a certain time, and the journey ends at a certain time. And so, like I've said before, we make the best of it. And that's, you know, when that time comes, hopefully, when I'm all grouched up and old.
All of us are heading there.
Oh, great.
All of us. Well, thank you,
know,
Lady Doye.
Sit back and say yes. It has been a journey, a pleasurable one.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to play Wicked World now, and then we'll come back after that. And, Terry, you can take over from there, unless our next guest, and we can say goodbye to Lady Doye or begin with the next guest.
Okay.
Here's Wicked World.
Wicked ball. I'm just saying a lot.
I just want to say that since I've started my own radio show, I have had the opportunity to meet some incredible artists, interview my favorite artists, and just meet some incredible artists. And I just have to say that Doye is right there at the top of the list. She is a beautiful woman inside and out. And I love you. I absolutely love you. I love your music.
Beautiful.
I love your music, and I am just grateful and so honored to have the opportunity to talk to you and interview you and meet you. And I can't wait to meet you in person.
I will meet you soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Thank you again so much. I'm sorry to interrupt. Thank you again so much, Lady Doye. We do have our next guest, Rosalyn, on the line, so we're going to have
you.
To say goodbye.
Talk to you later. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Lady Doye. And now we have another lady, someone who's very special to my heart, who is on the line with us, and that is Rosalyn. Hello, Ros.
Hi, Val. How are you?
I'm
great.
Can
you hear me?
How are you? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, so far.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I've been working very, very hard trying to get things together so that I can have a more variety of music to share with the world.
Well, okay.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to move right along because, you know, we have 18 minutes left, and
okay.
I want to try and get two songs in and get a bit of an interview in with you as well. So, Terry, why don't you go ahead and take the first song question.
Yes, Miss Rosalyn, what is the first song, the very first song you remember hearing?
The very first song that I remember hearing? Well, besides some music from church, the first song that I remember hearing is my dad and his band playing Help Me Rhonda in the Garage when I was a little girl. And I used to think that it was a bad song because I used to think that it meant help get Rhonda out of her heart, but it just meant help get the pain away, you know, which I love the idea of that. Someone could actually help someone move on in life. I really like that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, back to me. Well, I met Roz actually through IM Radio. I think it was Philip who earlier was talking about how we meet so many people, those of us who are in the music industry, through things like Reverb Nation and IM Radio and Twitter and Facebook and so forth. So Roz and I actually met through there. And I had let Roz know about the Reach for Freedom Healed Child Abuse Music Project that is close to my heart. And Roz started talking to me about a song that she had written called Charlotte's Web. And so we connected on that because it's about a girl who is abused. And I just wanted to read just a few lyrics from it and then have you talk about the song and then play it, Roz. Physically abused, mentally disrupted, and the other lyric that stuck out is the only thing she could do is find a way to escape. escape. And then there was another line that says she was protected by Jesus. And then
Jesus.
Cinderella, Jesus.
She was protected by Jesus. She was held,
Yes, by Jesus. And Cinderella, Tinkerbell, Charlotte's Web, stories, a fairy tale. These are just words that jumped down at me. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a bit about this song, where it comes from, and, you know, why you produced it and recorded it.
Okay. Well, my producer's name is Raphael. He's from Westworld Entertainment, and he created the song and the idea, well, the idea of the song. He called me up, and he shot me the track, and he said, here's what I want you to write to. And he said, I want you to write it about a 16-year-old who write it about a 16-year-old who was abused, and call it Charlotte's Web. Well, when I was listening to it, I actually have personal experiences of child abuse and things like that. I know people who actually the beginning of the story is actually about somebody that I know. So when I started to create the song, it just unfolded in a way that it was brought to life as you hear it now. I mean, there's so many people who are traumatized in life, and they just can't move on. They either turn to drugs, they try to physically take the pain and the mental anguish away with you know, painkillers and things like that, and become addicted and just have no life. But there's hope, and I know there's hope because I've seen it, because I'm living proof that you can survive, you can find peace within yourself, you can move forward. You know what I mean? You don't have to be held back by the things that happen to you in life, and that's why this song is really important to me. And once I do actually launch the song and begin to sell it, all the proceeds are going to go to a women and children's abuse shelter.
Oh, great. That's beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and play the song, make sure we get that in, and then we'll come back. Terry, if you have any questions, you can ask Rosalind, and then I might have one or two more as well if we can get them in. Okay, so here is Charlotte's Web by Rosalind.
About 12 when her mother passed away, her father
That is a very powerful song. And you have a beautiful voice, Rosalind.
Oh, thank you so much. It brings tears to my eyes to hear it.
Oh, wow. Yes, very powerful. Now, this song is coming off of your upcoming debut album, Divine Intervention.
Yes.
Okay, and you're working on that now. Tell us a little bit about the CD.
Well, you know, it started out, sorry, it's so beautiful. To me, it's like the angels have just carried her away, you know, and they're protecting her, and so awesome. But Divine Intervention started as I began, you know, in life, whenever you go towards the direction that God wants you to do, when he wants you to use your voice for the things that he's created you to be, the devil's always going to step in and try to stop you. And that is what happened. In my first original journey, I had some music that I was trying to produce. However, trying to come out the way that I was with only Christian music and such a variety of styles, because I don't stick to just one type of thing. I try to get people where they want to stand, where they want to listen, the type of sounds they want to hear. So I had to switch it up and create some music that was more geared towards radio, something that can be played all over the place, where people can fall in love with me and get to know me as a person, as an artist, and then be open to the fact that God loves them and allow me to throw a song here and there and talking about God and talking about things that they'll maybe be more open to listen to because they already know me as an artist and as a person.
Beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, there's a. I'm sorry. Did you want to say something more, Terry? Or can I jump in here?
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You know, talking about religion and spirituality and music. You know, inspirational spiritual religious music has been around for a very long time, right, Roz? You go back. You listen to the classical music. You know, Bach. You know, it's always been there, and gospel music, you know, in every society, you know, on this earth throughout time. So the music has been out there, and it's like now you're trying to make your mark. So, I mean, I think that's beautiful. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wish you all the success in the world. And, you know, you and I have in common that we were both abused children, and you're right. You know, for anyone who might be listening to this and who is going through a lot of pain and suffering now, there is hope. You know, you just need to reach out to other people, let other people love you. And right, Roz, we get through it.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Because you know, once you find your connection to Christ, you don't have any more of that pain. I will never forget. I believe it was on Oprah. There was an 80-year-old woman who was being raped, and she came out of the whole thing like completely happy and you know, with no trauma or nothing. And they just kept asking her, "How is it possible?" She said, "Because the whole time, my body was there, but I wasn't, because God was holding me the whole time." And I just think, and I'll never, ever forget that statement, because, you know, people need to understand that they're not alone, and no matter what's happening to you in life, out of some of the deepest tragedies come some of the most beautiful changes in our world. And you have to understand your part and your role and the reason why it is that you went through that, and the reason why it is that God gave me the inspiration, the voice, the gift that he's given me, the creativity and the edge to push just a little bit farther beyond than some people have already pushed.
Wow.
Okay, well, thank you
awesome.
For sharing
that
your
just awesome.
Your heart, you know, with us and being as real and as true as you could possibly be. Now, I want to let people know your website, which is myspace.com/ Rosalyn, Rosalyn, numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay,
correct.
myspace.com, Rosalyn, Rosalyn, 1, 2, 3, 4. Also want to let everyone know that you can get to Rosalyn's website from Creator's Parrot blog as well. And once again, that is creatorsparrot.blogspot.com. Now, what do we have left? How much time? We have 4 minutes. Well, let's see. What is the last song you want to hear before your life ends on earth, Ross?
The last song that I want to hear on life. One of my favorite songs in this whole world is Jesus Draw Me Close. And I love that song. Everything about it is just very, I don't know, you know, it's just everything that I want to know. No matter what's going on in your life, just be close to God. And I don't care about anything else in the world that's going on, because destruction is happening all around us. Just be close to God. And so that song right there is what does it for me.
Okay, beautiful. Well, I am going to need to say thank you, Rosalind. I'm going to play, Cruisin', one of the songs that made me notice you, because it was about hanging out with your girlfriends and having a good time. And
exactly.
Thank you for being here. And Terry, wow, thank you so much, Terry, for guest co-hosting. It's been a blast.
Thank you. And Rosalind, it was such a treat meeting you. Oh, my gosh, you're such an inspiration.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry. It's nice to meet you. And Val, you're an angel, and thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you to you both. And we're going to go out now with Cruisin'. Ladies, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you
too. Bye-bye. Thanks, Val.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. I listen to everything, and not just to the music itself, but to the hearts behind it.